The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Wide on the siren! Solo to pick it. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, she is.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
The skipper goes and goes and then tries to lace it out.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And without sounding insufferably smug, one of the things that I enjoy about this current era, I mean, there's hundreds of things that I enjoy about this current era of Richmond, but one of the things that I enjoy is that clubs we've lost to in big finals, in grand finals, they've often, almost always, got revenge on us at some point reasonably soon. Like
the
Crows beat us in 2018 in the first time we played them. The Giants in 2020, the first time we played them. The Cats destroyed us in 2019, you know, which was 2 years after we'd lost to them. But these clubs have, you know, they've worked themselves up for their big revenge game, and nobody cares. Like nobody remembers if you get revenge in a regular season game.
Well, we do.
Well,
we would if we barrack for the other team's club.
We would
the other club.
And I say this from the perspective of a small child who took solace from in 1983 at the Commonwealth Games exhibition game. We beat Carlton, and child me thought that was in some way consolation for losing the grand final to Carlton. With the perspective of hindsight, nobody remembers. All you remember is the grand final loss.
Well, you remember. Well,
yeah, but I'm not emotionally well.
You've kind of disproved your own theory. that is proven by the 10-year existence of this podcast. Yep. I mean, the games that no one remembers. I mean, how many Richmond supporters was it? The 1992 or 93 preseason cup?
93.
Yeah. 93, where the young Northie team was exciting. Mm. I mean, how many Richmond
the Robert Schaefer era.
I had tears in my eyes watching highlights from that semi-final this summer. And you speak to Richmond supporters, it means so much. You know, there can be little pockets of meaning in what is overall a failure. But
that's true.
Your broader point is right. That's why no one will remember your name. You know, people don't. As Dimmer said about the Port supporter who offered him a tissue, you know, I've won 3 of the last 4.
Yeah.
You know, Nick, I actually used that exact line to a Swans supporter the week before about.
Yeah.
It was friendly, but well, I wasn't quite sure what his intentions were, but I was in a foul mood because it was the third quarter and we were getting done. And I just said, 3 out of the last 4 does dull the pain somewhat. And that's were my exact words. And that wasn't quite what Dimmer said. But yeah, similar sentiment. But the thing is, Nick, you know, just about the game, which we won't talk about too much because we're recording this on a Thursday night. It's been a while. Wednesday night. And obviously,
I know, next week's coming. The Thursday night thing, I'm a little discombobulated. I mean, last year was such a weird season from go to woe that somehow the Thursday night games made sense. But this one snuck up.
Yeah, and we promised to get back to our normal schedule of recording a bit earlier in the week shortly. We've just been
there's been a few issues,
both of us. Yeah, there's been a lot on, but it's fine. We're both fine, and the pod will get back to earlier in the week. But to the point of the game, it was. Result aside, and I'm really angry about the game for a reason I'll discuss in a second. The the game was hot. It was real football. It was not like the Swans game. It felt like a finals game. When I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, we're not complacent yet, because that was the fear. Mm. Sorry, I'm tangenting off the point about the complacency and the fact we've won 3 out of 4. We weren't playing like a complacent
team. No, we didn't. I thought that compared to the Port games last year, it reminded me of a better version of our gallant loss to them in the regular season, where, you know, last time we played them, we were really down on personnel. This time we were down on personnel, but not as badly as last time. They had more of the ball. We looked more dangerous on the break. Yeah, it was a good game. Results aside, obviously.
Results aside, and okay, cut to the chase. We were robbed by the umpires. Yep. Look, I know there's a case we didn't deserve to win.
You know how much I hate criticizing umpires, but I do. Literally,
it is the old digger from the Coulda Beans. You know, I never complain about the umpires.
Well,
I don't like
complaining about umpires. No, I know. I definitely like complaining.
Because you are an umpire. Yes,
and I like complaining about AFL rule changes, because I do think sometimes they make the game impossible to adjudicate in tough situations. But, you know, rule changes aside, one of the traits that's as old as the AFL rather than the VFL competition, one-sided home crowd, bang for blood, umpires get a bit overwhelmed, lose their heads, few too many soft free kicks.
Nick, one of the umpires on the game gave 10 free kicks to Port and 0 to Richmond. Now, if you take 10 independent events which have a 50-50 result, which, you know, I realise Richmond isn't great in the free kick count, but it's still fair to say, like, every next given free kick, there's about a 50% chance that it will go to one side or the other. To have 10 free kicks in the row, if you're the person deciding, and that to just be random 50-50 chance, the chances of that are about 1 in 1,000. So, look, it may just have been a bad day, and I appreciate football. Free kicks aren't necessarily independent events. Like, they might be affected by the team that was playing, or they might be affected because the AFL gave us some C-grade umpires who were affected by the crowd noise.
Yeah, I don't know, but there was definitely in what was a close and tight game all day. Yeah, there were some decisions where you could have.
The Rosie goal was extraordinary. Yeah. The he jumped into Dylan Grimes and they fell over together. Like, anyway, it's just going to make Richmond supporters. But as you say, neither of us complain about umpiring too much, and that was an appalling game. Yeah,
wasn't good. Can I offer you a positive?
By all means.
So, you know that I've got several favourite Dusty genres. There's Dusty monstering key defenders, which is perhaps my single favourite one. But I think I'm really developing a sub-niche of that is Dusty monsters well-regarded South Australian small defenders. So Luke Brown, who's had an otherwise, you know, very solid, commendable career for the Crows, just got monstered one out by Dusty just before halftime in 2017. Darcy Bryn Jones, he's getting on the list. There's been a couple of times when we've played them recently, he's been an isolated one out against Dusty, and he just looks frustrated at the guys further down the field as to how the balls come down with so little pressure. Fills me with joy.
It does. It wasn't a rare that we saw a rare Dusty competition mark in the forward 50 where he took the ball out in front and not sort of bodied someone out. So it was one of the more rare and unusual vintages of the Dusty Wine Cellar, but nonetheless highly enjoyable. And you know, just as much as frustrating it was to rewatch that game, the bits where Dustin Martin imposed himself were, as almost is inevitable, the best bits of the game for us.
The Dusty Bolton combination. That's tasty.
And what a comeback by Bolton after, you know, an absolute shocker against the Swans. He was the best rated player on the ground. And you could see with the eye test that, you know, he was doing some amazing things. That fourth quarter kick that set up a goal. Oh God, it was incredible. What he dodged and weaved. You know, I've said this before about his Harden-like stutter step in the grand final last year. It was incredible too. But yeah, the man just keeps doing amazing things.
Speaking of comebacks, is there a more Bashir-Hooley set of statistics than 480 metres gained, 2 contested possessions?
It was great to have him back. Nick, if you'll permit a slightly self-indulgent tangent, because I don't want to talk about the game too long, because the game really did make me angry. I play on a Masters football team, which is has a high proportion of Muslim players, because we're in the inner north. There was sort of the co-captain's Muslim was explaining that Ramadan's coming up. And he was sort of explaining that they wouldn't be able to train because we train the team. They won't be able to train for a few weeks because the team trains during fasting when you break the fast. But it was my time to shine because I was just all over it because of Bashir-Hooley knowledge. It was like, oh, well, you know,
book, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, well, you know, obviously you're very supportive and it's great for the teammates. It's really interesting. And it means that when we have club sausage sizzles, we just don't get awful supermarket sausages. We get, you know, nice halal meat that's a bit of thought's gone into. I was able to just drop a whole bunch of a Bashir-Hooley conversation, and so I turned the whole football team chat into Bashir-Hooley. So I was very happy with my work, and also the ability to turn almost any conversation into a Richmond conversation.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about a few other players, sort of both for good and ill, but. Speaking of statistics, as we do so like to, Jaden Short right now is top 10 in the AFL in rebound 50s, kicks, bounces, and metres gained. He is in all Australian form, I reckon. As if you can say so after a month.
No, absolutely you can. I think it's a completely reasonable call. And he's been in that form in the preseason too, so it's not – it's okay, so it doesn't mean he's going to be all Australian, but it does mean that he's it's a continuation of a trend and it's real. It's not just a few lucky games.
No, definitely. Someone whose, you know, statistical profile. Actually, it was better than I thought. I looked up Tom Lynch because I was thinking, how's he going? His stats are all completely in line with, say, 2019, because obviously 2020 stats are a bit funky. His stats are all pretty much in line with career norms, except he's not kicking for goal particularly well.
Yeah, the AFL rankings aren't loving him. I'm sort of... The thing is, Jack's having a really good season. And actually a really good goal-kicking season as well. Really good analysis. He's 17 points? He's contributed 17 more points to Richmond than he would have if he was kicking at a league average for goal. Nice stat, by the way. Very advanced metrics. I'm glad you said that because I've been in the more slightly concerned bucket with Lynch. I don't think he's imposing himself. He's not clunking as many big marks as he has in the past. But I'm interested for you to say that. I'll continue to watch it and keep looking at the numbers myself. But yeah, I noticed he wasn't ranked at all in amongst the key forwards.
No, and the best key forwards in the AFL. But Jack is. Captures goal kicking as well. But he's actually having more shots at goal than he did in 2019. It's just, you know, they're flying through the small sticks rather than the big ones. One player who I think has got a very nice, like both the eye test and when you delve down into the numbers, but Noel Bolter, talk to me.
Ridiculously handsome. What is there more to say?
He's winning more ball, and his disposable effectiveness is going up, and he's generating good numbers of both intercepts and score involvements. The AFL ratings love him. He's an extremely handsome man. Like, yeah, it's a good combination.
Yeah, I was just about to write, like, I mean, in context, AFL ratings are really attacking metrics, so they don't love key defenders, but he's in the top 100. He's in the top, I think he's 77th, which, I don't know, this is a bit too nerdy even for our podcast, but that's very, very good for a key back and a sign that he is generating lots of attack. And part of that, Nick, might be that he's just he's lightning in a bottle as a ruckman as well. Which I think was even more evident last week. But not the – our overall rack stats were okay-ish, but Nank had quite a low-ranked game, and I suspect that was because, I hate to say it, Nick, but he cost us the game.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, and you know there are other individual acts that could have happened, but
there's a thousand individual acts in the game. But yeah. We remain a steadfastly pro Toby Nankervis.
Well, he was there. I mean, he won us the game, that really mattered. Well, exactly. Before, so yeah, not never to be forgotten. I love Toby Nankervis, but yeah, that was an awful, awful moment.
Yeah, I know. What can you say? Look, you some days it works for you.
Yeah, I think if, in the interest of balance, because we would talk about this if it gone the other way. We were minus 12 on the inside 50s. Yeah, they did have way more marks
inside 50. They did. While the shots at goal were, there was only two difference. Actually, they sprayed quite a lot of shots as well.
Yeah, they did. We actually had quite a good, we sort of managed to blow a, we had a slightly better goal-kicking game than expected, and they had significantly worse. So, yeah, you're exactly right. So, well, according to my measure, which let's avoid that tedious conversation of last week where we had you show me mine, I'll show you yours, goal-kicking.
Yeah. Speaking of players from North Launceston, what did you think about Ryan Mansell's first game?
I was going to Look, and that was really the only last thing I wanted to discuss about the game, but I wanted to ask you about the debutants. It was interesting that Ryan didn't get dropped, and Will did. I was a bit sorry for Will. I thought he was, you know, that moment where he got mowed down, yes, it was, he wasn't up to the speed of the game. But he was effectively playing in a final in his first game.
Yeah, and the nature of the Adelaide Oval as well, you know, being a relatively long, thin ground, like it does feel like a very intense game sometimes, I think. And it's unfortunate, you know, he's only got 1 week, but Camden's back and to play on the wing, which is a deeply, deeply reassuring thing for Richmond supporters, but sadly that was Will Martin's spot. But yeah, he shows up in the tracking stats as having sort of similar running numbers to Lambert and Jack Graham, who were sort of known for covering a lot of ground. So that was encouraging. Some good pressure stats. But yeah, he definitely felt the speed of the game, I thought.
But by the way, the pressure acts were right up from the Swans game the week before, which will be no surprise. Yeah. I don't think it was any particular surprise that Mansell was a tough little so-and-so.
feisty little back pocket, as advertised.
Yeah, and this is going to sound really weird because I'm hoping to catch a half of the VFL on Friday, which we'll talk about in a sec. But I'm almost a bit sad I don't get to see him sort of close. He's the kind of player who's fun to watch in the VFL, you know. The top deck of the Etihad, which I'll be sitting for the Thursday night game, you know, you sort of
it's not quite the same.
Players like Jaden Short are good higher up because you get to see how their kicks affect the play. Sorry, this is a long tangent.
And you get to see leading patterns. That's what I like most about being up high. But yeah, you don't get the visceral feeling of being close to the action.
You don't get the fun of the cork bombing in the ocean style of Liam Baker and how brave he is banging into contest after contest. So yeah, I'll be really interested to see how Martin rebounds from this. But I thought it was an okay debut. As we discussed, it was a hard game. Mansell, okay.
Yeah, I'm glad as well that they stuck with him. Like, he didn't. He.
Yeah, and you don't want to drop all the kids after.
And we need them as well. I've been thinking about this in terms of, like, the players who've stepped up this year. It's sort of more improvement from Bolter and Baker, who were sort of two players who emerged last year, Jaden Short as well. But I really feel like we need someone from the last couple of draft classes to start making an impact. And then they've had a bunch of guys be around the squad, and that's partly because of all the depth players who've moved on in recent years, you know, Higgins and Markov being two obvious ones from last trade period, you know, Brandon Ellis before that, and yeah, others as well. But yeah, the list is definitely thinner, and you know, this week it was Martin and Mansell, skipping to the Saints game, we've got Hugo Ralph Smith, Callum Coleman Jones, and most excitingly, Morris Rioli Jr. All as emergencies. So, yeah, I'm keeping a close eye on that.
Jake Arts had 7 possessions on Friday night and 2 quarters where he recorded no disposals at all.
Yeah, he's.
So he kept his spot. I'm sure he's doing a lot of defensive running, but that's
he's got to be the maxed out version of himself to stay in the team.
Yeah, and in the interest of balance, I should point out that George, who's having quite a good season, had 0 touches in the last quarter too.
Look, one quick thing before we talk about the VFL, but just came through tonight in perhaps an unsurprising announcement, but Ellie McKenzie, best first-year player in AFLW.
Number one draft kick wins the Rising Star Award.
Sometimes it's easy.
VFL.
So,
by the way, another superficial bit of analysis for the Lids comparisons. Anyway, VFL.
True. Lids, another daughter.
Good for him. And us.
So, would you believe, I was pretty surprised by this, that, and perhaps I don't care all that much about it, but we are premiership favourites for the VFL, which seems a bit odd from our solid but middling practice game form.
Yeah, and losing guys like Stevie Morris.
No, Stevie Morris is now a player coach.
Oh. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I managed to have a work meeting the other day where he was next door neighbors to Stephen Morrison. Again, I managed to turn another conversation into Richmond. That was very pleasing. I neglected my feelings about him playing small forward. But aside from him, we've lost a lot of depth.
We do. And look, this has happened with all the AFL clubs, the affiliated AFL clubs, that big decreases in salary caps. So, you know, all of the Caulfield, Ballard, the sort of just really solid VFL veterans who've anchored the team for a while. Not many of those guys are left. Almost none. In fact, the Stevie Morris is now both captain and backline coach, with Ryan Ferguson immediately doubling up from the AFLW to be the forwards coach. So it is, yeah. You can see the cuts to the football program.
Yeah, it's interesting why I've just been contemplating why Stevie stayed. I mean,
he likes it.
He likes it, and he loves the professional gym. He's a ripped, still young man. Anyway, it's sort of, as you point, the league itself is diluted, and maybe this will be a year for more competitive standalones. And I reckon there's going to be some sort of 150 points floggings along the way.
I'll be interested. I reckon the Queensland teams away from home, the standalone ones like Aspley, I reckon they're going to be in for a tough year.
Yeah, look, you know, if in my perfect world, it's just basically the VFL will be a competition of the old Melbourne, the best of the old meaningful Melbourne clubs, and throw in a couple of the good old VFA ones like Port, and that's all I would need, so I could just cycle around and soak up the atmosphere of these old grounds. So yeah, but obviously I'm not getting what I want, and no one's really getting what they want with a Friday midday game, but I'm sure there's some logic to that somewhere. There was
Ellie,
but just so we're not,
Ellie McKenzie is going to be playing for the Port Adelaide VFLW team if you want some actual star talent.
Port Adelaide or Port Melbourne? Yep. You said Port Adelaide. Yep. All good. That is, she's worth the price of admission alone, definitely. And on the upside, it's really exciting that KO's broadcasting the VFL, so we'll be able to watch
three
it on
three games a week. Yeah, I was, and they took their time announcing it, but yeah, I'm happy about that, and I'm hoping they have some decent production standards as well. I do. Sometimes I find it hard to watch when it feels like the camera's a million miles away.
Yeah, that's true. And you need good commentating. It calls out the names of the players because you don't recognise them.
Well, and they sometimes...
And anyway,
like Samson Ryan has played in 53 instead of his normal 32. So, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, look,
the club website has basically described the VFL practice games as being somewhat akin to Homer's epics. So,
I thought it was more the Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Anyway, so I'm looking forward to these epic contests. On a midday on a Friday.
It's a mostly young team, and you know we know that young teams don't win, but it's got some talent. And yeah, I think they were 3-2 in their 5 practice games. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they go.
Yeah, there are multiple players I'm super excited about seeing, and that will. I'm glad you were sitting down when I said that, considering how many young ruckmen we have in the team.
I know,
but Biggie too.
Yes. Although I think he's suspended for...
Yeah, for the headbutt. Yeah. But still, there's plenty of excitement on the team.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be interested to see how long before Mate Kalina plays a VFL game, actually, because it's been 6 years, I think, since he's played competitive AFL, and that is a very competitive standard of football to be making a debut at.
Yeah, people might not remember, but the Coburg used to have, you know, we used to have thirds.
Yeah, used to have a reserves team. Well, when Ivan Soldo came
down. And Richmond players regularly played in it.
Dylan Grimes played VFL reserves his first season. When Ivan Soldo came down, he played for Northern Knights in the then TAC Cup. So, yeah.
God, that must suck if you're a 17-year-old playing against them.
Yeah, gigantic former basketballer who has no idea what he's doing.
Yes, but can jump high and has sharp knees.
And is really strong, yeah. St Kilda. We started about 18-point favourites and were down to about 14-point favourites. Is that making you nervous?
No, look, I think it's just this weird Docklands. I wonder how much of that betting has been done by people who are aware of Richmond's record at Docklands.
It's not that bad, actually. I haven't looked at it for this week, but I remember looking at it for last week. It was better than I thought.
Yep, is that partly because of playing really crappy teams? Like, when was the last time we actually beat a good team there?
We go badly against the Bulldogs there. That's definitely a thing. Yeah, but we still, like, even before North got terrible, we've been stitching them up there. And St Kilda, it goes both ways. I don't like it all that much, to be honest.
No. Controversial opinion amongst Richmond supporters. Everyone hates it. Saints seem to have tried to get a bit faster for the game.
They have, and they've really, we've talked about before that sometimes momentum can be a little bit deceptive. Sometimes momentum is just you playing well. But it did. The light switch did seem like it went on for the Saints in the second half last week. And they are, once they get in a roll, they can look really dangerous.
Well, as you say, very much demonstrated by the second half. I'm given a little bit of confidence about Royal Marshall's a really, really good player, and I don't think you break a bone in your foot. Even the plantar fascia, you can play through. He's been picked. I don't think he'll be all that good.
I hope so. And I'm interested in Jake Carlisle, late career shift to being a ruckman as well. I'm a little bit sceptical of that, I've got to say.
Yeah, and I think it does take away from them elsewhere. Weirdly, he's this sort of, he's like a homeless man's enforcer for them. He's sort of like a totemic player for them in this weird, slightly dysfunctional way. So yeah, I don't think it hurts for him. Like, he's a tall guy, like 200 centimetres, but I don't think it hurts us to have him there, and I think Nack will make mincemeat of him if he's playing in first rucking all day.
I certainly hope so. It is. They do. I have been a little sceptical of the St Kilda rebuild, because I think it's an extremely workmanlike midfield for both good and bad. There's, you know, they having Jack Steele.
There's a little bit of mid-2000s-y Richmond without Richo feel to it, isn't there?
There is. Jack Steele tackles relentlessly. Guys like Zach Jones. Gresham is a loss for them. He's out for the season. He just has a bit of star power to them in their smaller brigade. They do have Dougal Howard stacks up very nicely with his stats on the season, and you know, both King brothers look awesome. But yeah, they're building, if not fully realised yet. So they've got bookends at either at either end, a deep, if not star-studded, midfield. Like, there's, you know, that we played them in the final last year. They're a good team.
Nick, there are 18 players and teams in the AFL, so you normally, if you've got a normally distributed AFL ranking team, that you normally get a player in the top 20, then you get one in roughly in the top 40, and so on and so on. You get distribution. It's not always perfect. You know, we have the second best player in the AFL at the moment, the 38th, the 50th, the 77th, and the 85th. St Kilda go from Jack Steele at 8 to the before-mentioned Dougal Howard at 87.
Ooh, that's a lot.
So, as you say, it's just proving your point about that they might have a deep midfield, but it is far from star-studded.
Yeah, definitely. The
Nick, there's only one issue I want to talk about when it comes to St Kilda.
We're going to talk about Jack Higgins. How do you feel about Jack Higgins?
Yes. That's exactly the question I posed to you, Nick.
In a cruel irony of all the time we talked about him when he first broke into the Richmond team, he's kicking for goal extremely accurately.
Yes. And I'm sure at some point he'll... I did love the point someone, a friend of the podcast, made on Twitter that Jack's... he's finding it harder when the ball doesn't magically pop out the back 6 or 7 times a game. So I'm very, I'm being strongly influenced. I'm very much agree with the analysis. It's not the same as Butler. It's not the same as all the other people who left. He was in contract. He had a chance to get opportunities. Yes, he wasn't even an emergency on the grand final team, but he played a prelim final for us. He was young. He had time to develop. His career wasn't going to be over soon. So I have a bad taste in my mouth about his leaving. Yep. But I've been heavily influenced by, you know, just various Richmond supporter opinions I hear around the traps. And, you know, I'm just going to just one particular Richmond chat group with a few people whose football opinions I respect. But I've had this, you know, this kind of sentiments. I'm almost amalgamating a few things here. It gets worse all the time the more I think about it. The faith we showed in him, the games given, the way Dimmer stood up for him, the pledges, the way that we, you know, we stood by this brave kid, and he's still in the early stage of his career, and then he leaves after 4 years just because he's not getting a game for a few weeks. It's just friends talking amongst each other, and it's let's not take it too seriously, but perhaps he got ahead of, and this is awesome. Unbelievably, this idea has not come from me, but the way Champion Data rated him perhaps made him get a bit ahead of himself. So look, he went through a lot. No one's taking that away. We still like him as a human being.
I want him to do well. I just don't want him to play well this week.
Yes, I am at the point where I want him to play badly. By the way, I won't boo him.
You are right. It does feel a bit funny. Like I in no way anyone who wasn't getting a regular senior game who gets you know a 3-year contract to go somewhere else, in regular senior football, I do not begrudge them at all. This one, as you said, because it was under contract. Yeah, it does feel a bit different.
And he wasn't like Brando, who needed the last big payout. On a slightly just more optimistic note, we've all been death riding Geelong because we have the number one draft pick, and that was a very satisfying weekend of football. We also should be death riding St Kilda because we've got the second round pick.
It's,
so
look, it's hard to get as excited. I actually tracked them last year because we. Swapped. We had a pick swap with them where we swapped second round draft picks, and that ended up being about 3 spots, which in the early 40s.
Even you struggled to get excited about.
About that. So look, it's nice, but I think I liked what happened at selection with replacing Caddy with Rioli. Like, I think, you know, if you sort of shuffle the team around, if that means more midfield time for Bolton, yeah, I think I'm up for that.
Also gets faster. Mm.
That's true.
To suit the deck. So, yeah, look, I'm natural hesitancy about Docklands aside. I'm actually really looking forward to the game. It's a really big game, obviously. We're at 500. It's meaningful. The Saints are a bit wounded. I like our chances.
I'll be a nervous wreck.
Of course.
But, you know, we are solid favourites. We've had a good game last week. Yeah, I'd really like us to, if we take that attitude and intensity in this week, we'll go very well. I'm Nick.
We're a Andy. Target talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the siren! So what a ticket! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, she is.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Bigger man takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Oh, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
The skipper goes and then tries to lace it out.